Siyempre, malapit na ang Pasko. And let me be the one to greet you also. I don't know when will I be invited again, so might as well greet you now. Merry Christmas. All right. Thank you, GCF Novali, for this great privilege and opportunity to be with you this afternoon. It's been a long day, but it has been such an amazing experience. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. We continue our sermon series, Live Like Christ. And our sermon this afternoon is entitled, Love Your Enemies. Luke chapter 6, 27 to 36. And in reverence to the reading of God's word, may I invite everyone to please stand up and let us all read together. Luke chapter 6, 27 to 36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind and to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may now please take your seats. One of the most urgent teachings in the church today is discipleship. And in discipleship, it is very critical that we should not only know the principle, but we should also engage the practice. And in engaging the practice of discipleship, this area of loving our enemies is a crucial thing. One of the most important discipleship messages we need to hear and live out is the message about loving our enemies. The distinction for you and for me as disciples of the Lord is for us to have a living theology within us. Meaning, we should have the living God loving people through our lives. The single most important thing when it comes to our lifestyle, the single most important distinction is supposed to be this, the living God loving people with His love through our lives. And His love is supposed to be so dramatically different from anything that the world has ever experienced. So that your non-believing boss, your non-believing co-worker, your non-believing husband, your non-believing wife, your non-believing friend could stop and say, there is something different with this person. There is something different with us. You see, we can preach the gospel. We can preach the gospel so faithfully, but we can disqualify ourselves. We can disqualify every single word we have said if we are living an unloving lifestyle. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to give praise to you, to give you glory, to give you honor. God, you are worthy of them all. Lord, I ask that you open our eyes and that you would change our hearts today. Cause us to be transformed by your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, going to our passage, some scholars equate this section of Scripture as equivalent to Matthew chapter 5 to 7, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gives us practical instructions on how we ought to live the faith. Look, the author penned these words to an audience made up primarily of those Grecian background. And he writes to a man by the name of Theophilus to explain to him what the gospel of Jesus is all about. Now, looking at the sixth chapter, we see how Jesus teaches from the very beginning that, number one, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. First part of chapter 6. Further, Luke chapter 6 teaches us that in this chapter, there was a man with a withered hand, and Jesus heals him and makes his hand whole, just like the other hand. And then it tells us how Jesus prayed, and then he calls the 12, and how he consecrates them and sets them aside to be his ambassadors to advance the kingdom of God. And then just before this passage, we read how Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, which primarily glean from Matthew chapter 5, the blessed woes. It's amazing because when we look at chapter 6, we look at Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath, and we say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord. We look at Jesus healing, and we say, Lord, I want you to heal me. We look at Jesus choosing, and we say, Lord, please select me. We see Jesus giving out blessings, and we say, Lord, I want you to bless me. And all of these things are good. All of these things are fine because God is a generous God. Amen? God is a generous God. He is the type of God who would give to his children as they ask. And he knows our needs. But then Jesus flips the script in verse 27. Right here in verse 27, when he says, if you want me to be your Lord, if you want me to be your healer, if you want me to be the one to choose you, if you want me to bless you, there is something that you have to do in response. Verse 27, he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Who among you here has enemies? O, diba? Sa taas, talagang taas kamay. What do you do with those people in your lives? If Jesus is your Lord, if Jesus is your Savior, we have to struggle to understand and apply what he is teaching in this passage. In Luke chapter 6, 27 to 36, we see Jesus aiming at our hearts as his disciples and challenging us to apply this tough principle of loving our enemies. We see in our passage this afternoon what God requires of us as his disciples. And I submit to you four important principles we can learn when it comes to loving our enemies. The first principle is this: respond and don't react. What's the first thing you do when you are mistreated? What is your initial thing that you do when you are mistreated, when you are hurt? Our first reaction, more often than not, is to retaliate, right? Kagantian kita, right? Our first reaction, more often than not, is to retaliate. Brothers and sisters, the call for us is to respond in love. You see, Jesus sets the benchmark of love as high as it can possibly be set. It's plain and simple. Love your enemies. So direct. Love your enemies. Now, a Jewish people under the Roman rule would understand exactly what Jesus was saying. And so when Jesus said, love your enemies, they understood that. They understood that it is a tall order to fulfill being under the rule of abusive leaders, probably. They understood that when Jesus says, love your enemies, it is a tall order to fulfill. Notice how Jesus breaks it down. He operates with the assumption where he doesn't say, if you have enemies, love them. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Because Jesus operates under the fact that everyone has an enemy. I was talking to my son this morning, my 7-year-old son, Marcus. I was asking him, Marcus, do you have enemies? And he looked at me and he said, let me tell you, you have to love your enemies. And then biglang lumaki yung mata niya, why? Tip to parents, sometimes it's nice to explain to our children why we tell them things. Diba? Because these are children who would naturally say, ask, why? Gone are the days when, you have to do this because I said so. Right? But I was just, you know, shocked when he said, why? So I took a little time to explain to him, because the Bible says so, because as children of God, we have to love our enemies. I don't know how he processed that, but he was like nodding, and he was listening to me. All of us as an enemy. David had Saul. Paul had to deal with a lot of people who would like to discredit him and who would like to destroy him. John the Baptist would deal with Herod and Herodias, who would ultimately cut his head off. The fact is, every believer, the closer you are to God, the more you could accept the realization that if you love God, then there will be enemies. And the truth is, even if you don't love God, you still have enemies. Enemies who would cheat on us. Enemies who would lie. Enemies who would slander us. Enemies who will gossip behind our back. Enemies who will be unfaithful, even if you have agreed and promised to support each other. Enemies who would steal from us. Enemies who would exploit us. And the list could go on and on and on. It doesn't matter what your background is. We all have to deal with enemies at some point in our lives. It's just so interesting here. How an enemy can continue to remain in our minds when we never forgive these people who are on our hit list or on our hate list. Diba ang hirap? If it's here, they stay there and there until we forgive them. And so this section of our passage, 27 to 30, this whole section of imperatives deals with an attitude of sacrificial, self-giving love. How are we to respond? It says there, do good to those who? To those who? Hate you. Not just to refrain from a bad response, but we respond with an active, positive goodness. An active, positive goodness. After all, love is not only an emotion, but love is an action. Love is an action. Next, he says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. What is the good that we have to do to our enemies? We pray for them. Do you pray for your enemies? I hope not the imprecatory prayer. Right? Sana, Lord. May gigil pang kasama. But we pray for those who mistreat us. How do we pray? We pray for them. That we're not going to retaliate with our words, but rather respond in kind words. To pray sincerely for their well-being, which probably includes their conversion to Christ. Next, he says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. May kasabihan po tayo sa Tagalog, pag binato ka ng tinapay, anong gagawin mo? Batuin mo rin ng tinapay na nakalagay sa garapon. But no, most of the time when people physically attacks us, our first impulse is what? To break their head. Diba? Or to violent reaction. But Jesus here is saying, no, anak, no. We are going to do far more by loving rather than retaliating. We will not let the person's insult hinder us from continually ministering to him and to her in love. Meaning, tuloy lang ang pagbaministeryo sa taong sinasaktan ka ng paulit-ulit. Continue to minister to them in love. We should not retaliate in the spirit of getting even or standing up for our rights. You know, we set aside all selfishness and pride, and we should seek to minister to an abusive person. And sometimes you just have to sacrifice your right to be right. Diba? Mga husband would agree. You would sacrifice your right to be right for the sake of love. And then he says, if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. It's like saying, give away your clothes. But we have to understand that those were the only two pieces of clothing people wore in that day. An outer cloak in which they slept in, like a sleeping bag, and an inner undergarment. Jesus didn't mean they take this literally, or else there would be a lot of naked people running around Jerusalem. And that was just a no-no. What he's saying here is to go the extra mile. It is the idea that love overflows the request. It goes beyond what is expected of it. It is acting in a certain way where others act in a different way. That is the call for us. Nag-a-appear na ba sa utak niyo yung mga taong kaaway niyo? Remember these principles. Next, he says, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Wow. Hirap naman nun, Lord. He does not mean, however, that we should indiscriminately give money or goods to everyone who comes along and asks. Nor he does not mean that, you know, it is wrong to hold people accountable for things they have borrowed from us. We can do that. But biblical love seeks the highest good of the other person. It is not seeking his highest good to foster his irresponsible behavior. Rather, Jesus is confronting our greed and selfishness and encouraging us to be generous, even to those who mistreat us, even to our enemies. And when Jesus talks about love in this passage, he talks about the agape kind of love. Martin Luther once said, Martin Luther King Jr., love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Love is a powerful force capable of transforming an enemy into your friend. Jesus talks to us about this agape kind of love, And this agape kind of love is not the warm, fuzzy feeling type of love, but it is the type of love that no matter how you feel, you will continue to act on behalf of the other person. Na kahit asakit, kahit na anong nararamdaman mo, anuman yung sitwasyon mo sa buhay, you will act and continue to act on behalf of the other person. That even though people will throw dirt at you, you will still love them. That even though you are not in speaking terms with someone, you will still love him. You will still love her. That even though you were unfriended on Facebook, or blocked, or unfollowed, you will still love him, and you will still love her. You see, God is challenging us that we still have to love these people. Because when we say we love them, it means we are committed for their highest good. The second principle we see in this passage, verse 31, it says, treat others as you want to be treated. And we all know that is the golden rule. You see, if everyone would just follow this simple rule, we would have no angry quarrels, no lying, no stealing, no abusive speech, nor violence. Everyone would treat everyone else with respect and kindness, being sensitive to their feelings. Beloved, the principle is this. Love must deal with others as love would like to be dealt with. Let me repeat. Love must deal with others as love would like to be dealt with. Now, I believe that we need to have a good self-image and a good self-love to apply this principle. After the second service, we're talking about this. You know, sometimes you really have to love yourself first, you know, and acknowledge how much God loves you before you can really even love others. So it's very important for us, beloved in the Lord, to have a good image of ourselves, of how God loves us. Because some people would rather abuse themselves rather than love themselves. But when you understand God's love for you, you can love others as God has loved you. Again, we say love is not an emotion. It is an action. It is when we are committed to do good to others. It is the willingness to sacrifice for the good of others. We don't need to feel an emotion for us to say that we have love. But if we are willing to sacrifice to do good for the welfare of others, including our enemies, that is love, my friend. Ask yourself this question. How would I want to be treated if I were wrong? Kapag ikaw ay nagkamali, paano mo gustong tratuhin ka? And your answer, treat the other person that way. Treat others as you want to be treated. The next principle we see in verses 32 to 34 is the challenge for us to go beyond the world standard of love. Here we see Jesus getting into the why. The reason why Jesus wants us to love our enemies is because we have to be different from others. Notice the verse. Sinners love those who love them. Sinners give to those who they expect to get something in return. God is saying that as His disciples, what makes us distinct and different is that we love those who don't love us. That we are willing to go beyond the world standard of love. And you might be saying, that's all good for my enemies, Pastor, that they are loved. But what's in it for me? What's in it for me when I operate according to the paradigm that Jesus lays down in this text. Beloved, when you exemplify God's love, there is some great reward that's in it. And you may ask, what kind of blessing is God going to give me for loving my enemies? Beloved, what is important is what happens to you when you exemplify God's love. When you love your enemy, think about how your household will change. May kaaway ka ba sa bahay ngayon? Love him. Love her. Think about loving your enemies and how the work environment will be different if you walk in tomorrow morning and greet your enemy. Good morning. Think about how loving your enemies will make a difference right here in the house of God. If people who are not in speaking terms would just love each other. Think about how your health will be better. Maybe right now, because of a lot of stress, your blood pressure is off the charts. Di ba may biro sa mga Pinoy? Bakit ang taas-taas ng high blood mo? Di ba? And you take medications because you have so much stress going on in your life with who did this and who did that and how many people hurt you and how many people backstabbed you. Beloved, if you want to be free today, love your enemies. When you love your enemies, what you are really doing is loving yourself. I love myself to continue to allow this person to dominate my thinking. I love myself to stop making decisions based on who hurt me. I need to make decisions based on who did good to me. Because if we are honest, mga kapatid, there are more people in our lives who have been good to us compared to those people who have hurt us, correct? Mas maraming nagmamahal sa atin kaysa sa mga hindi nagmamahal sa atin. Guess who said this? I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are not like your Christ. Mahatma Gandhi. Now, I'm not trying to justify him. Kasi siyempre iba yung kanyang perspektibo. But there is some truth to what he said. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And so, if we are to be his disciples and be recognized as sons and daughters of the Most High God, the Bible tells us we have to love our enemies. It may sound like a broken record, no? Paulit-ulit. Love your enemies. But really, that's the truth. We have to love our enemies. The text says here, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Be merciful because God has been merciful to us. God showed his love to us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is mercy. Mercy is being good to someone undeserving of it. It's having pity and compassion. And when it comes to mercy, we are all encouraged to remember that we are recipients of the mercy of God. God has blessed us with mercy over and over and over again. Undeserving as we are. And the reason why we are singing today here, because of God's mercy. I like that song. Jesus, be the center of it all. Be the center of this church. Be the center of my life. Beloved, we are not right with God because we forgive others. Instead, because we are right with God, we ought to forgive others. Who among you here has problems forgiving others? Maybe you're here this afternoon. Sorry, I just cannot forgive him. I just cannot forgive her. When we say we cannot forgive and love our enemies, when we say that we cannot forgive and love our enemies, it shows that there is a problem with our understanding of God's love for us. As His disciples, the call for us is to love others, including our enemies. Pastor Irwin gave me the passage 2 months ago, and I said, of all the passages, Pastor Irwin, why this? But then I just praised the Lord because God used this passage first to minister to me. Lord, I said, Lord, do I have enemies? Am I still hurt by people in the past? Have I truly forgiven them? You know, as a young pastor, I have experienced a lot. Criticism, hurt, accusations, and many more that has caused deep cut in my heart. And I thought I have forgiven people already. I thought I'm okay already. I see them. But during our men's crossroads last month at CCT, the Lord broke my heart. And He said, you really have to this time forgive your enemies, to let go and let God. And I just praise God when the Lord allowed me to do that during that men's crossroad weekend. I was released. Ang sarap ng feeling that I am able to preach this sermon because the Lord ministered to me first. It's just an amazing feeling. Last night, I was just so excited to come here. I just praise God for how He used that time of preparation to minister to me first, to deal with my unforgiveness, probably bitterness, and just be able to be freed from these negative feelings. I'd like to end with a story written by Ernest Hemingway, who loves to write stories about Spain, and the setting here is in Madrid. He tells a story about a father and son, the son who ran away from home. No one could really say why he ran away, or perhaps he was kicked out of his home by his father for something foolish that he said or did. Either way, Paco, that's the name of the son, Paco found himself wandering in the streets of Madrid in Spain, with hopes of entering into a profession that would most likely get him killed: bull fighting. See, those who train under a mentor have a good chance of surviving this profession. But Paco's memory of his mistakes and guilt over what happened blindly drove him to this one-way street to suicide. But that was the last thing his father wanted, which is why he tried something desperate, which he desperately hoped would work. He followed Paco. But there was little or to no chance that he would be able to find Paco wandering in the streets of Madrid. So instead, he put up an advertisement in the local newspaper. The advertisement said, Paco, my son, I love you. I like to see you again. Please meet me at the Hotel Montana, 12 noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. Guess what? The next morning, there were 800 young men named Paco waiting for their fathers, waiting for the forgiveness they never thought was possible. Some of us here today probably needs God's forgiveness. Others are here today probably needing to forgive. But whatever you need, whether you need forgiveness from the Lord or you need to forgive others, you must come to a place of knowing where to look. Because forgiveness, beloved in the Lord, is all about knowing where to look. And today, this afternoon, God is calling us to look to Him. He is calling us to receive His forgiveness and release His forgiveness. He is calling us to turn a new page in our lives. You cannot walk with that pain anymore. It's time to turn a new page. Forgive. Forgive your enemies as you have received forgiveness from the Lord, so that you are truly free and understand that forgiveness is not about setting the other person free. Forgiveness is setting yourself free. I don't know about you. Right now, maybe you have, you know, people in mind who have hurt you. Nasaktan ka. Patuloy kang sinasaktan. May kaaway ka. Maybe someone in the past continues to haunt you that you have not forgiven yet. I pray that you will not leave this place not settling that with the Lord. That, you know, this week or the coming days, you will pray that God will give you the courage to forgive that person. Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, your child, your children, parents, maybe an office mate, maybe a friend, a relative, maybe your boss, maybe someone. Why don't we pause right now and close our eyes and commune with the Lord? And if there are right now people in your lives that you need to forgive, I pray that the Lord will enable you to see the truth that we have to love our enemies. I'd like to call in JB to please come and sing.